Good morning and welcome to MTSU On the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. In its continuing emphasis on partnerships, MTSU, along with the Jennings A. Jones College of Business, is presenting the Disney Institute's Professional Development Program in the Greater Nashville area. Disney Keys to Excellence will take place Tuesday, September 9, from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at the Sheraton Downtown Nashville. Participants will learn how the Disney brand grew from a mouse into a mega business, a brand that is known and respected throughout the world, and how they can apply those techniques and principles to their own companies. With us to discuss the event is Bruce Jones, Programming Director of the Disney Institute. He started with Disney as an assistant restaurant manager in 1988, and he joins us via telephone. Bruce, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Bruce, what do Mickey and Minnie know that most entrepreneurs don't know?
Mickey, they probably, it's interesting. It's not that they know anything more or anything different. These are things we all know, but what they have is the ability to apply what we should know on a day-in, day-out basis. They're pretty darn good at thinking about treating people like guests, about managing the people here at Disney, and really thinking about these principles and turning them into action. So it's not a matter of what we know. I think it's a matter of what we do.
And for that matter, what makes the Disney's Keys to Excellence different from the conferences that you know are full of motivational speakers that make the national rounds and attract business leaders searching for ways to do business better? What makes this event different from that?
Right. Well, I think of Disney Institute as uniquely Disney. There's a lot in those couple of words. We are ultimately a training and professional development company. We've got plenty of experience delivering outstanding events like the Keys programs. But we've got 22 years of experience in the professional development field. And the real difference is we don't teach theory. We really think about where the rubber meets the road of real life and really talk about principles as they are applied daily here at Disney in our parks and resorts, and many of the participants will probably have been to a Disney theme park or resort and experienced it, so they'll have some frame of reference and context to know that what we say is so. And then they'll know that we have proven results behind us. Disney's a pretty well-known brand in the world today, acknowledged for its expertise in these topics of leadership and people management and guest service and brand loyalty. So not teaching theory is a great benefit. We're going to talk about practical, applicable tools within a framework that the audience can then begin to apply in their own way, in their own business environments, beginning the very next day.
Do you have to tailor your presentations to different business types, sizes, or styles?
That's a great question. We know that there are different businesses and different organizations. In fact, we get folks from nonprofit, governmental entities, educational institutions, as well as corporate entities. And you know what we have found in those 22 years is that organizations are more similar than they are dissimilar. So while we understand the differences, we'll address that right up front with the audience, and we'll begin to focus on the similarities. And the good news is we have a variety of experiences with different organizations, so we can tailor the delivery. And certainly if there are questions and when there's interaction with the audience, which we love, we're pretty experienced with that as well. But we have found that these principles of leadership and people management and service and loyalty are common across different organizations. We've seen it across the globe, as a matter of fact. So even though the organizations may seem similar, I think when they all sit together in a room and begin to collaborate and think through the ideas, they'll begin to see the similarities, and then the real creative sparks will fly.
Are there any adaptations you've had to make to the presentation in light of the current economic downturn, or is the information that you convey equally applicable as a practical matter in good times and bad?
Yeah, in fact, more applicable now. We have seen, and obviously try to stay in touch with the industry as a whole to find out what is going on in the training and development industry. And in the past, we know that organizations during downturns have typically cut the budget in training and development. And we're seeing something different now. In this current downturn or uncertain period, we're seeing a lot of organizations make a different decision and not cut training and development, and in some cases accelerate training and development in anticipation of what they know will ultimately be an upturn in the economy. So different organizations applying that differently, obviously, but we're seeing a different shift in the world, particularly in the United States, where organizations are really taking a look at this and not, in fact, cutting training and development, but in fact being pretty aggressive with it. So that's kind of exciting.
Is it appropriate for all kinds of employees to attend, or only supervisory or managerial personnel?
Yeah, I mean, we've got, in fact, I know that on the website, which I think is keysnashville.com, which is kind of neat. I've pulled it up and looked myself. There are highlights and areas where it says, what do our attendees say? And I think you would find by looking at that and talking to the folks maybe who've attended these programs before, which we do often, it really is applicable to anybody in the organization, because at Disney, when we think about leadership, and this is really how we've thought about this since the early 1990s, that everybody in the organization plays a role with respect to leadership, and everybody can influence the organization from their own sphere of influence. So understanding leadership skills and how to use them not only are transferable throughout the organization, but can be helpful as people progress through their career. And same, we found the same with the other content. It's applicable for anybody. They all have their own unique point of view, and we'll make sure that when we address those topics that it's useful for everyone at their appropriate level in the organization.
What about businesses overseas? You alluded to it just a bit earlier, where cultures, customs, and business laws are different than they are in the United States.
Yeah, great question. We are just starting to learn in that environment, not as a company because we've been there, and we are, but as a Disney Institute, we are beginning to learn how our company has become more global and expanded, and we've begun to reach out to our senior leaders in the organization. And what we have found is that in many cases, to your very point, there are specific local adaptations, but the principles that we're going to be talking about are universal and universally in need. So we are finding that there's a big need for these types of management principles and this sort of professional development. So again, for I think domestically organizations thinking about remaining competitive in today's environment, we'd all want to think about these topics, because certainly it's being thought about overseas and being applied by multinational companies like Disney.
What kinds of business problems might be alleviated through the knowledge attained at a Keys to Excellence event? You mentioned that people are actually finding it fortuitous to or beneficial to expand training and development even in these tough economic times. Are they not finding that they have to do so with fewer people as the national unemployment rate has climbed?
And you raise a really good point. So how can people or organizations continue to be as productive as they may need to be, even in the face of real downturns where that might even necessitate the unfortunate scenario of a layoff or something of that nature? Organizations will still have to find a way to climb out of that situation by being more productive, more creative, more innovative. And this type of learning, this type of professional development can help prepare people for that. We know that, and not just at Disney, that change is constant, and we always have to address that. We kind of think of it in differently than the typical organizations who think about change management and having to help their people through change that's been handed to them. We kind of like to think of it as in terms of change leadership, where we dictate the change and we lead our organization forward as we think appropriate, trying to actually outdistance the competition. So this lineup, Keys to Excellence, is really a strategic roadmap to really help an organization think through how it can continually set itself up for change, and then how it can really take its strategies and begin to execute and move organizations forward. And the business problem you're addressing is this business cycle and the times when there's a downturn. And we think that this is a way to help organizations be better prepared for those downturns and to then accelerate when coming out of the downturns.
Disney is an entertainment corporation, and frequently when there is an overall economic downturn, people are inclined to spend less of their disposable income on entertainment, stay home, eat out less, that sort of thing. How has Disney managed to survive the ups and downs in that particular element of the consumer culture? Has it been through diversification, or has it been through some other kind of business practice?
Well, diversification is certainly part of it. I think as an entertainment company, we know that we've got to have our media networks and consumer products and other offerings working well, and they can offset some of the downturns in our park and resort experiences and vice versa. But what we have learned, and I think when you hear the topics in this program in the last part of the agenda calls out the idea of loyalty, customer loyalty, we take that very seriously. We have a mission statement that talks about welcoming people as guests and welcoming them back as cherished friends. And the idea there is that this helps us sustain our business through the downturns because we become a first choice, if you will, when times are good, and a last to be abandoned, if you will, when times are bad. And we've seen that in our business. So it pays to really think these topics through and understand how to create customer loyalty within an organization because, it can help you defend against the downturn, if you will.
So the reliability that the company displays and the comfortability the consumer has with that company because the company is reliable and familiar and has a reputation for consistently good service and consistently good product, it blends into the more conservative consumer mindset of wanting to play it safe, be conservative, go with what you know.
You've said it better than I did. It's really an issue of trust, and particularly, so to your point, when times are tough, I want to rely on those that I can trust. And then when things start to turn around and the choices become predominant again, then we still would like to go with the organization that we trust because there's a proliferation of choice and I need to make all these great decisions. And how do I do that? I can rely on those brands or those organizations that have continued to deliver to me regardless of the situation. That's a tough thing to do, to say deliver on your promise regardless of the economic conditions, but that is a way to continue to build that lifetime loyalty with customers.
One of the case studies that was posted on your website is General Motors. To a prior generation, the mantra was, as goes GM, so goes the country. Well, the global economy has changed dramatically since then. So I'm fascinated in knowing what Disney did to help this icon of American business.
And really, that's a good question. The focus there is on their dealers, because we know that there are a couple of parts of the automobile selling equation. Certainly, one is the car itself. The second is the buying experience. And while General Motors works its way through its challenges with cars and which models they need to have in which marketplaces, all those very strategic manufacturing decisions, they know that if they get the best cars out, they've got to have the best dealer experience as well. So what we have been doing is focusing on the dealership experience to say to them, regardless of what the cars are that you put in there and all the upstream processes that must work and work well, you've got to have that customer experience to a point where they will feel like they can trust that your brand through them. So that's where we focus on with their dealers.
If the Disney keys to excellence could be equally applied to entertainment corporations, aren't you potentially giving your competitors more than you want to give them? By doing the Disney Institute, they could take some of the tips that you're giving these other businesses and apply them to their own internal practices and procedures, could they not?
They absolutely could. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things we thought about with some of the aspects of our business. And as somebody might sit in the Keys program and be a competitor and absorb some of that, then that in our mind that can only be good for the industry as a whole, which is good for Disney, because we believe we'll get our share.
It strikes me that from what I've said about what I've read about the Disney Keys to Excellence is largely aspirational and reaching for the highest possible goals. But since human beings make up companies and corporations, what advice or what guidance does Disney Keys to Excellence have to offer company managers when it comes to public relations damage control? Suppose there is a scandal, some criminality by some employee. Suppose there is a necessity of a product recall, either voluntarily or imposed on them by the government for the sake of public safety. Talk to us a little bit about what Disney has to say to business people if they find themselves in those unfortunate circumstances.
Well, I think it goes back to our earlier point about being a trusted brand and one that continually delivers on its promise. To your point, we take that corporate citizenship very seriously, and there's evidence in that in our kind of well-balanced and nutritious nutritional efforts with our food offerings to provide healthier offerings for those who attend our theme parks. Even though they may be on vacation and feel like they want something else, we feel it's important to provide nutritional offerings. So it's more preventative for us. We will, we're constantly focused on that. We know that we have an image to protect in our community as well as the business community. So for us, it's helping everybody understand the values of the organization, what's important to us as an organization, and things like quality and innovation and guest service and excellence are all values that we have believed in since Walt Disney and Roy Disney started the company years ago. And then we have a time in the program where we actually talk about this. Roy Disney was fabulous in saying and understanding this. It's easy to make decisions when you know what your values are. So when everybody in the organization, if we do our work because of that leadership component, understands that they have a purpose and a higher purpose rather than just a job or a task, then we believe that they'll do their utmost to uphold that the integrity of the brand. So our efforts in training, which we talk about, are to help people understand that while they might have a specific job or task, their purpose is to help every guest who comes here have the most wonderful vacation experience of a lifetime. And so they raise their performance to that level of expectation, and with that comes the ability of us as leaders to help them understand the higher purpose in terms of what you might be describing corporate citizenship and ethics and other things. So our efforts are highly preventative and come down on the values side of the equation to make sure everybody understands the big picture here. What are the values of the organization that we believe in? What are the behaviors that will reward? And when we're clear with that and hold people accountable to that, that's probably the best, and it's kind of like health insurance. That's probably the best efforts, are on the preventative side.
So instead of talking about what can be done to mop up after the fact, use an expression, you tend to discuss more how you can be proactive in making sure that you hire the best people from the get-go to make sure that the practices and policies and procedures are as foolproof as they can be, despite the human element.
Yep. It goes to the trust issue. No one's going to trust you until you demonstrate you are, in fact, trustworthy. So if we have these processes in place in the people management program, we talk about the culture of the organization. It's pretty well understood by those applying for a role in the show, as we say, that Disney is an organization that's focused on innovation, quality, guest service, and at the utmost, at the highest level of ethical behavior that we could have. So again, we could say all those things, and we're not perfect, and we don't claim to be perfect, and know of very few organizations that are. So if there were a mistake to be made, and somebody stood and represented the Disney organization, because we've consistently delivered a promise of the brand over these years, we're believed and trusted, and that's good because we are in fact making every effort to be the company that we aspire to be. And I think our CEO, Bob Iger, says it best, that we strive to be the most admired company on the planet.
And in many ways and in many respects, you are. I've never heard of anyone, well, with the exception of a few weirdos on the blogosphere.
I'm
not going into the specifics of it either. Cast aspersions on Disney Entertainment properties. We've talked a great deal about the external factors, the economy and such. Let's talk about the internal factors that play into becoming a brand that you can trust, and that is having good people, happy people working for you. Some surveys indicate that being treated fairly, equitably, and with respect in the workplace is just even more important than salary to a lot of workers. Does Disney have any particular guidance in the keys for excellence for supervisors, human resource managers, and others on this issue on how to get and keep good people and to keep them satisfied if with their personal situations vis-a-vis their employment?
You've really hit on the essence of the management component. We call it Disney's approach to people management. And the idea is that when we talk about leadership at the top of the day, that great leaders multiply themselves through the efforts of people. Businesses are still driven by the work of people. And in people management, we're going to let the audience know that you mentioned human resources, but that people management is not just the responsibility of the human resources department. It's everyone's responsibility. So there will be tips in there, not only about selection and hiring, but then also in training and rewarding and recognizing and therefore retaining that top talent, which is going to be critical. As you mentioned, efforts are to get and retain the top talent that we can find, and not just technically adapt at the job that we ask them to do, but at Disney we want them to also understand the strategy, which is to take care of our guests and welcome them back as cherished friends. So if you get to the root of that hiring message, if you want friendly service, hire friendly people. And then we will talk with the audience about recognition processes that Disney has, because we do want the best efforts of folks. They have told us in their surveys that while pay is important, there are ingredients amongst them being part of a community that feels as if it's working together towards a common effort, which is important to our folks. The idea of being a quality-oriented organization drives pride, and that's something we actually measure in our cast surveys. That pride is a key driver, and I can tell you that as a cast member for 20 years and a member of the community and a father of two, that I'd have a hard time leaving the organization in the eyes of my two youngsters. They like the fact that we work here. So we will talk about those things. Absolutely, there is a model that we have for people management that we've seen proven results over the years, and we will share that with the folks about selection, communication, training, what we call care, recognition, and rewards, and how to turn that into a culture that becomes a real competitive advantage.
And a satisfied employee, one who is satisfied with his salary, his benefits, his work atmosphere, and feels comfortable in it and appreciated in it, is naturally going to provide better customer service, right?
And we have seen that to be so as well. These topics kind of flow in an order along what we kind of refer to as a chain of excellence. And really, in the 1990s, I would say, it has been my experience, we became very deliberate in our approach to these topics, and that means we've measured them, and the audience can really learn from Disney's experience here. We correlated this scenario, so we know in our world that great leaders drive great performance by people who provide wonderful service to our guests, and ultimately build relationships that lead to very profitable and loyal relationships with our guests. So you're absolutely right. We would not be able to provide the level of guest service if we did not provide an appropriate level of cast experience, which we know is driven by the level of leadership in the organization. And we've proved that scientifically.
Is it advantageous to use quantitative research or gut instinct or a combination of both to make these kinds of determinations?
I think it can be a combination of both. We have seen, I believe, enough evidence that says that this chain of events works in a variety of industries and organizational types. I wouldn't go so far as to say it's proven in every type of organization in every place on the planet, and that's only because I don't know. But I believe that a number of organizations have experienced the same sort of understanding and chain of events, so that some people could, if they didn't want to undertake that extensive quantitative analysis, they could make the leap of faith that this would probably work in their organization, and then set up some measurements on the back end to see if, in fact, it comes true and prove it that way. So you could do it in a number of different ways. I think what the audience will hear from our experience is that we've seen it work extremely well. I think they'll see how it all works together, and I think they would believe that they could work out or take these concepts and begin to apply them similarly, adapted to their own unique situation, of course, and see similar results.
How does a company put together a competitive benefits package that will lure the best talent, especially given the rising cost of healthcare?
Yeah, that's a good question, because it involves studying, which we do relentlessly at Disney. One of the things, again, that the audience can learn from is the measurements that we have measure everything. And we're constantly talking to our cast to find out what it is that causes them to be most satisfied and most productive, most fully engaged in the organization. Compensation, of course, is one of those things we look at. And we kind of look at a whole person strategy and individualize it as much as we can, but we understand that compensation and pay is one part, then benefits is another part, recognition is another part of that, and then there are the more subtle things, again, that I mentioned about being part of a community that they can be proud of and that works together, and they can begin to differentiate that overall experience relative to other companies they may take a look at or that they've worked for before. So there's more of a holistic strategy to compensation that we would recommend that's in addition to just strictly looking at pay. And there are many things still to come, not just in our organization but in others. Flexible work scenarios, working from home scenarios, other many, many, many scenarios that many companies are experimenting with. We could certainly share our thoughts about that, but there's a more holistic approach today, I think, that's been very beneficial to our company and to others.
Did Walt Disney ever envision that his empire would grow to the extent that it has today?
Wow, that's a wonderful question to think about, and we think about that often. What would Walt say if he were here? And I kind of think he'd say, "What took you so long?" But I think he'd be pleased. He said when coming to Walt Disney World, when coming to Central Florida, you know, we've bought enough land here to hold all of the ideas and dreams we can ever come up with, and there's still some room to grow here just at Walt Disney World. And would he have foreseen the growth across the globe? I think so. I think he would be pleased. I think he would challenge us to say what's next. And I think that's an interesting question to always think about, and we do think about that a lot to try to stay true to his and Roy's original dreams and intentions.
Does that become more difficult the larger you get? Does it become more difficult for you to remain true to those values and ethics and goals as you expand exponentially?
You know, it might become for some organizations, and I think that's a valid point you make. At Disney, we spend a lot of time connecting people to the heritage and traditions of the company. from the very first day, and the audience will hear about this in our people management program, the very first day that someone starts on the job is not at their work location. They must attend a training program. We call it, it's our orientation program. We call it Traditions at the Disney University, where all levels and all different job functions are together in the classroom, and they learn about the history and the heritage of the company. So we work very hard at Disney to make sure that people do not forget, as Walt again said, that it, you know, it all began. You opened the conversation with a thought about Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse, and Walt would always say, we must never lose sight of the fact that this all began with a mouse. And that speaks to, obviously, the character and the integrity of Mickey and the brand of Disney, but it's something we never lose sight of, and again, a strong recommendation to companies to understand their history and their heritage and the story that they're, in fact, telling, and to share that with everybody who works there. It builds pride and commitment.
It's called the Disney Keys to Excellence. It'll be Tuesday, September 9th from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at the Sheraton Downtown Nashville, 623 Union Street. For more information, go to keysnashville.com on the web. And we want to thank Bruce Jones, Programming Director of the Disney Institute, for joining us today on MTSU On the Record. Bruce, thank you so much.
And thank you for having me.
This is MTSU On the Record. I'm Jenna Logue. Please join us again at the same time next Sunday. Don't forget, we're available at mtsunews.com and on iTunes.